When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz here on Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. We are covering everything that you guys need in fantasy sports, sports wagering, all of that good stuff. You know, just because there's no NBA and just because baseball is, or no NFL, and just because there's no baseball here yet doesn't mean that our show is going to stop. Our Wednesday headlines. Actually, a great game tonight. The Utah Jazz, who are scuffling a little bit against the Los Angeles Lakers, headline tonight's 11-game slate. Pretty much every Lakers game for the rest of the season is a must-win if they want to find their way not in the play-in. Number 7, Baylor, and number 11, Texas Tech, highlight tonight's college basketball slate. Lovie Smith, this is interesting. This is a very interesting headline, I thought. Lovie Smith wants a Deshaun Watson resolution as soon as possible. And Victor Oladipo, finally, I mean, I didn't even remember Victor Oladipo was on the Miami Heat until this headline, but he practiced with the Sioux Falls G League team, participates in 5-on-5. But George, I want to return to this Deshaun Watson thing, because on this show the last couple weeks, we've been talking about, I mean, we just talked about NFL free agency, right? We've been talking about the musical chairs. Oh, Rodgers wants to trade. Russell Wilson might want to trade. Ben Roethlisberger retires. Brady retires. And this story now is so old and so tired, we don't even mention Deshaun Watson's name anymore. But what if, I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but what if he just gets in no trouble at all, right? Civil case, gets dismissed. Maybe he pays some fine, but no jail time, no criminal penalty. I mean, that is really going to shake up the NFL offseason.
Well, he's not gonna go to jail. This is a civil trial. I believe the depositions are next week. It's what we're all waiting for. It's the next step in this case. So this is going to pick up again massively next week when all this becomes public. You know, so I think it's on Tuesday, if I remember correctly, the 22nd, I believe, is when he's scheduled to undergo this. Now, actually, he's not going to go to jail. Eventually, if you believe the reports, now this wasn't made by Schefter or Rappaport or anybody, but it did come out that he had deals with, I want to say, close to 80% of these women to let it go, but that whatever team wanted them wanted 100% before they would trade for him, you know, where they weren't going to hear about this ever again. So let's just say something like that can happen. I don't know if it can possibly get, 20, 21, 22 women? I don't know if it's possible to get really deals with all of them. But let's just say, for argument's sake, he does. Then he will be traded. The question is, what team is going to want to take on that PR hit? I mean, wow, because not only are you going to get, you're going to get the women's groups, and I don't blame them at all for going off on them, right? But you're going to get sponsors that are going to be very shaky, and they might pull out. Right, they might pull out of sponsoring your team because of, once again, all the protests and everything else going on. So it's going to be very tricky to see him going to another team. And Davis then, okay, what's Goodell going to do? We know he has a field day with this stuff, right? He's going to get suspended. And you and I are Cowboy fans. Zeke got 6 games, and he did nothing anywhere near this bad. All right, so what's he going to get? 8, 10, 12 a season? I mean, that's why a team trading for him, how can he help you this year? How can he help you this year? Even your best case scenario, let's just say for giggles, he gets 8 games. All right, he can participate in training camp. Then he can't have anything else to do with you for 2 months. Can he really come in those last 8-9 games and help you win, help you get to the playoffs? Or are you really doing this for next season, the season after that? You know, that's, you know, Carolina, someone like Matt Rhule, if they make this deal, which makes some sense here. There's some, as we welcome on radio, Fantasy Sports Today, Davis Maddock, I'm George Kurtz. You know, if they would do that deal, I would get Matt Rhule being able to do it because, well, you know what? If it doesn't work out, I'm fired anyway. Right? Either way, so why not? I get nothing to lose. And maybe ownership will want to roll the dice there. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, this is a very intriguing case of where he goes because there's no way in hell, Davis, that I see him playing anywhere near – I don't think he's playing double-digit games this year. And I'm not talking injury. I'm talking with suspension. I don't think there's any way in hell he plays double-digit games.
Yep, I think you're right. I mean, I've sort of said the entire time I don't think he's ever gonna play again, but would not be the first time that that I've been wrong about these things. According to Dove Kleiman, Deshaun Watson has begun evaluating potential teams to play for in 2022, and the Vikings and the Buccaneers are amongst the teams on his radar. I do have to say, the Buccaneers would be one of the teams that would make some sense, right? They sort of do that mercenary thing anyway. They have loads of guys on one-year contracts. You know, I could see that happening, and I could see them, you know, winning that division at a canter if Watson is their quarterback.
Oh, and we've already seen Bruce Arians tell us one thing and do another, right? He said, I'll never sign Antonio Brown. He did, right? Oh, no, he makes one mistake. He's out. He wasn't. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't really connect those dots, but that actually makes sense here. You know, I don't know if they can fit him under the cap, and there'll be massive cap problems here, whoever acquires him as well here. So, when it's the offseason, you can manipulate that somewhat, but that would make sense because they don't have a quarterback, and Tom Brady just left. And that would keep everybody happy there as far as the type of quarterback you're getting. But once again, who's going to be happy with a quarterback that may not be able to play until November, if that? And what if Goodell goes bananas?
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. With code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
He gives him a 12-game suspension, or even a year suspension. You know, then we're probably going to get the courts involved as well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So everyone, we are going to go ahead and wrap up our first segment here and go ahead to go to break. We have a jam-packed rest of the show for you. Of course, as always, in hour two, we run through NBA DFS on DraftKings. We're going to look at some more Dynasty buys or sells and then wrap it all up with Fantasy or Reality and the Sports Grid 60. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for all of that. We'll see you back in a few moments. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. So we're not going to ask George to do any heavy lifting here, as we are going to be taking a look at the NBA tonight on DraftKings. Now, of course, remember, all of this research, all of this information, you're going to be able to find it over on DailyRoto.com, and you are going to be able to find it for free on DailyRoto.com. All you need to do is sign up with your email, and you have access to our projections and to our optimizing tools. So we have a pretty interesting slate here on DraftKings tonight. Probably the most interesting thing going on in the NBA right now is the Brooklyn Nets without any of their stars. Ben Simmons is not eligible to play yet. Kevin Durant is still out. And Kyrie Irving can't play in any of their games. He has not played since the 12th. He's not going to be able to play until, I believe, after the All-Star break. He'll be able to play on February 26th in Milwaukee. But not only are they playing home games, but they're also playing against the New York Knicks tonight. Well, that means they're still in the state of New York. That still means they're in the city of New York. And as a result, that means that the vaccination policies are going to mean that Kyrie Irving can't enter the building. So again, we have a very thin Brooklyn Nets team at guard. They have Seth Curry, Cameron Thomas, and Patty Mills. They did play against the Kings the other night. Curry was very good in that game, but that is definitely a fascinating element. Another big element of tonight's slate is going to be the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant did not play last night. He has an ankle injury. I am expecting him to not play tonight either, which is going to mean that their point guard minutes are pretty divvied up. They did not play anyone over 32 minutes last night, which is always pretty fascinating. So we can go ahead and take a look at our backcourt here. Tyus Jones played 32 minutes against the Pelicans last night. He scored 44 DraftKings points, took 17 shots, 27 points, 9 assists. He was phenomenal in that game. He's only 3,100. I would imagine he is going to be one of the most popular plays of the entire slate. De'Anthony Melton didn't even see a big jump on his minutes, still his 22 minutes a night. Desmond Bane saw a lot of run for them last night and was decent as well. But Tyus Jones, basically the best play of the entire slate. Another young guard, though, also had a very strong game with a bunch of veterans out. Derrick Rose not playing right now for the New York Knicks. And it seems that Quentin Grimes has moved ahead of Emmanuel Quickly in the Knicks rotation. He's played 40, 37, and 31 minutes the last three games. He took 18 shots in the loss to Oklahoma City, scored 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. He was very strong in that game, and we're going to go back to him at 4,100. I mentioned the lack of depth in that Memphis rotation. This is a fairly important game for them tonight because you cannot be losing games to teams like the Portland Trail Blazers. So if this one gets close at all, second night of a back-to-back for the Memphis Grizzlies, I think we could see Bane hit closer to 35 minutes. For example, he played 34 minutes in a similar spot against the Knicks, 39 minutes in a similar spot against the Philadelphia 76ers. He has a couple 50-ball games in his game logs, and I'm really looking for a big bounce back from Desmond Bane tonight, feeling very good about him. Pascal Siakam is really putting the Toronto Raptors on his back. And it's interesting, he's pretty much coming off one of his worst fantasy games of the season. The Raptors got ran out of the building by the New Orleans Pelicans on Valentine's Day. Probably not a sentence anyone was expecting to hear, but he went from scoring, 60 points the night before to 20 points the next night. But Siakam against Karl-Anthony Towns, who, look, love Karl-Anthony Towns, think he's a great guy. He is not a great defensive player. And I love that we can play Siakam at power forward because we got to get Nikola Jokic in at center tonight. If he's not the MVP, you know, it's very close between him and Joel Embiid. They have been the two best guys in the NBA. And Jokic against teams that don't have a traditional center is pretty much one of my favorite plays, because those are the games where he can get to 70, 80 DraftKings points, and you'll basically be the guy you need to have, because not only is his rebounding and his offense, you know, his shooting is not going to be impacted by any of these centers on the Golden State Warriors, but probably most importantly, it's the assists, you know, because there's just not going to be any reason why Jokic can't sit at the key, have the ball, survey the court. He's going to be able to see everything. And just to give you an idea of the guys who've been getting minutes at center right now for the Golden State Warriors, Kevon Looney, I think he probably is giving up 40 pounds to Nikola Jokic. We have Juan Toscano-Anderson, who in a different version of the NBA probably would have just been a small forward. And then Nemanja Bjelica has returned to the lineup. And the Warriors might even try to get away with some Kuminga center minutes. Look, all due respect to Jonathan Kuminga and Nemanja Bjelica, but and Kevon Looney, I think it's going to be a very tough run for them tonight. And I do think Jokic is going to be the guy you need to have in tournaments tonight in order to win. I'm calling my shot right now. I think he gets over 65 DraftKings points against the Warriors. Moving to the flex positions, the Chicago Bulls continue to not have any of their guards available. Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, and Alex Caruso are all not playing. Our producer, Brett Levy, he was telling me, look, it's going to be Kobe White season. It has been Kobe White season the last week of the season. 41, 38, and 36 DraftKings points over the last week. And that has meant that Ayo Dosunmu has not been as good. He had one of his worst fantasy games as a starter. Unbelievably, he played 33 minutes against the Phoenix Suns and got 4.5 DraftKings points and had 26 DraftKings points against the Spurs on Valentine's Day. But I think this is a good spot for him against the Sacramento Kings. The Kings give up fantasy points to absolutely everyone, and I'm going to be buying the dip a little bit here on Ayo Dosunmu. Next, we have an Atlanta forward. This team is without John Collins. He has a strained right foot, so he is not going to play until after the All-Star break. And also, Bogdan Bogdanovic is questionable with an ankle injury. He was also listed as questionable on the 15th and did end up playing, but it's unclear if he will be able to go, which I think means that DeAndre Hunter is going to repeat the 38 minutes that he played against Boston and the 35 minutes that he played against Cleveland. Again, it's against Orlando, so it's not necessarily a team that we are all that worried about. Hunter has gotten up 16 and 12 shots in those games, so feeling pretty good about DeAndre Hunter for only 4,700 on DraftKings. And then I mentioned at the top, you know, all of these injuries for the Brooklyn Nets. Well, you know, they're not going to play any of their centers together, right? So Drummond, Aldridge, Claxton, Blake Griffin, and De'Ron Sharpe. I mean, they might play Blake Griffin as a power forward a little bit tonight against the Knicks, but really, they are quite thin on the wing. Bruce Brown, I don't know how this happened. He did somehow get 52 DraftKings points against the Kings the other night. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, 5 steals, so there you go. He's got the blocks and the steals, but they don't really have another option other than playing Brown all these minutes, because they probably don't want to play too many minutes of Curry, Cam Thomas, and Patty Mills all together, which means that Bruce Brown is going to be playing at shooting guard, small forward, and power forward tonight against the Knicks. So feeling pretty good about him. And he might not be the right answer for a Brooklyn guy. You know, maybe it is Cam Thomas. It could be Patty Mills. But I think all of those guys are very strong plays for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. So definitely keep an eye out there. That is our DraftKings lineup for tonight. As always, pay very, very close attention to all of the injury situations. John Morant questionable, LeBron James questionable, Fred VanVleet questionable as well. And you can get all of that updated information over on dailyroto.com for free. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, George Kurtz will be back with me, and we are going to be talking some Dynasty Fantasy Football buys or sells.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And on the day that all of my Dynasty Leagues got rolled over from League Year 2021 to League Year 2022, we are here on Fantasy Sports Today to do some Dynasty Fantasy Football chatter. We have some buys or sells. Certainly, I have some fantasy teams that are looking to do some buying this offseason. I've been hoarding draft picks, and now we are here to do some buying or selling. And George, we are going to begin with the man of the hour, Kyler Murray. You know, is he going to be on the Cardinals? Is he not going to be on the Cardinals? We talked about it a little bit in Fantasy or Reality yesterday. Now, certainly there is an argument to be made that Kyler Murray has been a little bit overrated as an actual quarterback in his NFL career. Not much of an argument that he has been overrated as a fantasy asset, because he has been so good as a fantasy asset when he is healthy enough to play. His rushing so unbelievable, generates so many touchdowns. So given all of this going on around Kyler Murray, are we buying or selling, George?
I'm buying. I mean, you said it. Yeah, his NFL quarterback, he may not be great, but fantasy, he's just fine. And this is also a guy who didn't run as much last year. There were certain games he did, but then he stopped for a while. It seems like sometimes I think he does this to his detriment, where he doesn't want to run because he wants to prove he's a quarterback rather than a running quarterback. Listen, man, do what you got to do to win games. All right, I personally don't care if you're a running quarterback, a Tom Brady seven-step drop, going to stand there quarterback, or somewhere in between. Don't care. Do what you got to do to win games here. But I'm buying Kyler Murray. Yeah, it's been an interesting offseason with, you know, he's scrubbing his social media accounts of Cardinal stuff. I don't care. All right, they're not going to trade. Who's going to be shocked if they move on from him? And by the way, it may not be the worst thing anyway if you go to another team there. But I'm buying Murray. Think of what he did last year without Hopkins, too. Hopkins barely played, it seemed like, right? A.J. Green was nowhere near the A.J. Green of old. The running game was a mess for a while, too. James Conner had, 19,000 touchdowns, but that's really all they had there. I'm buying Kyler Murray. No problem. Give me him.
You know what? Absolutely buying as well. 100% buying on Kyler Murray. There is probably not going to be a better time the rest of his career to buy. So to begin with, we have the drama, right? Oh, he's mad at Cliff. He's mad at the ownership. He's mad at the GM. He's mad at his teammates. Well, you have all of that. Also, he was, by his own standards, not great in 2021, particularly when he came back from injury. He basically stopped running to end the season. 4 rushes for 3 yards against Detroit, you know, 35 yards here and there. But to begin the season, he was scoring the touchdowns left, right, and center. He only threw for 3,000 yards, only 24 touchdowns. In the end, only ran for 423 yards. I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. I mean, if you can get Kyler Murray for Kirk Cousins and a second-round pick in, you know, a super flex league again, you know, I think, and I think George agrees with me, super flex is definitely the way to play. And super flex dynasty is definitely the way to play, because you want you want every player to have value. And even a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in one quarterback dynasty, they're just not that valuable just because of the nature of the position. So you definitely want it to be super flex. I would trade any first round pick this season in a super flex league for Kyler Murray. So I don't care if it's the 101, I don't care if it's the 102, I would trade all of those for Kyler Murray. I don't feel that way very often, but I definitely do want to be buying on Kyler Murray. Our next guy, Joe Mixon, sort of the converse of Kyler Murray. Mixon is coming off the best season of his career, most rushing yards, far and away his most touchdowns. He had never scored more than 9 touchdowns. He scored 16 touchdowns this season. It's the most receptions in a season he's ever had with 42. He scored 3 receiving touchdowns. So before I give my opinion, I'm curious where George is at.
I guess curious fact here. In my leagues last year, Joe Mixon was the player I owned the most. He was on most of my teams. The player was on most of my teams. I think he was on 4 of 11. I was Joe Mixon believer coming into the season. Not that I was in love with him, by the way. It just happened to be where he was available. People weren't in love with him. Or they were declining him more than I was. So he was a guy I kept taking. Top of the second round was pretty much somewhere in there. I think he's only going to get better. And I'll give you my reasons why. They're going to fix the offensive line. At least it's going to get better. I don't think they can fix it in one offseason, but it's going to get better. Either they're going to draft guys, or they're going to sign them free agents or trades, whatever it might be, or a combination of all three. No one is worried. Joe Mixon's not a dynamic running back. He's not that kind of guy. So no defenses are not worried about that. When they think Cincinnati, they're not thinking, oh, we got to stop Joe Mixon. No. They think we got to stop Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Boyd. All right, Mixon's somewhere down there around number 4 on the list of things you're worried about with the Bengals here. So he's going to go. He's never going to see an 8-man box. He's never going to see a defense designed to stop him. You can make a pretty good argument, and I've made this argument. I think I might have made it with you yesterday. If not, I certainly made it on Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi on Monday. I think, though, one of the main reasons the Bengals lost the Super Bowl was because they had 4 plays where they had 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. They didn't convert any of them. Joe Mixon wasn't on the field for any of them. What are we doing, Zach? What are we doing? All right, you overthought things. You tried to be cute. It didn't work. All right, I like Joe Mixon. I am buying.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I, in general, don't buy running backs, though. And maybe that's a larger part of the conversation. I just think, in general, if I'm going to be buying a position, I want it to be a quarterback, like we just talked about with Kyler Murray, or I want it to be a wide receiver. And it doesn't even necessarily have anything to do with the individual player values. Like, I like Joe Mixon just fine. You're right. The offensive line probably will be a little bit better. Joe Mixon was very fragile with his fantasy production in terms of the games where he saw targets and games where he didn't. I believe the stat is games where Mixon was targeted over 5 times, he averaged over 21 fantasy points per game. In games where he was targeted 4 or fewer times, he was at like 13 fantasy points per game. So, if Samaj Perine retains third downs, I think that's not great for him. But just in general, how many times do we see this happen for running backs? Todd Gurley, out of the league by 27. Couldn't trade Ezekiel Elliott for a ham sandwich right now in a dynasty league, even though he did just have another, fine season for him. It's just that running backs really don't hold their value. So the only scenario where I would be buying Mixon, the only scenario where I would be buying Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, all those kinds of guys, it would be if I thought I was one piece away. So, I have my quarterbacks, right? Let's say I have Dak and Kyler and a veteran guy to fill in, and I have Travis Kelce, and I have, maybe I lucked into Cooper Kupp. Maybe I have Jalen Waddle, and I have multiples. I have Deebo Samuel, right? He wasn't that expensive to acquire last offseason. But because I don't buy running backs, I got crap there. I got Darrell Williams and James White and A.J. Dillon at running back, right? Which is some of my running back rooms in dynasty leagues might look like that. That is a scenario where I could see buying Mixon. But just in general, if I was the 6th seed in my league last year and I had Joe Mixon and someone offered me Elijah Moore and a second round pick, I think I might take it. And it's not about him, the player, or the situation. It's just about how dynasty fantasy football is played. Now, our final guy, I do have a feeling we are going to be pretty aligned here on, though, Deebo Samuel, very interesting from a dynasty perspective because, George, there is roughly a 0.0% chance he ever has a season as efficient as the season he just had. Our friend from PFF, Mike Renner, tweeted that had Deebo Samuel gotten the amount of touches that Jonathan Taylor had gotten and retained the same efficiency, he would have ran for 2,600 yards and scored 42 touchdowns. So that is sort of a complicated way of saying Deebo Samuel ran very hot in 2021.
Oh, that's pretty. He caught the league sort of off guard, right? I mean, that's easy to say there. You can make an argument that he, if not for the season that Cooper Kupp had, shouldn't he have been the offensive player of the year for what he did for that team? With Garoppolo at quarterback and all that. So fantastic season by Deebo. Really a fantastic season here. I think the league will catch up to it somewhat next year. They're also going to go with Trey Lance at quarterback. At least I'm pretty sure they are. I don't think Jimmy G will be back there. Will he have the same kind of effect? I'm sort of playing a devil's advocate here. It's a buy. I'm going to take a shot here that Kyle Shanahan's going to continue to figure out ways to get the ball in Debo's hands and use what he can do. We've really never seen. We've had some slash players before, but we've never seen someone excel at both running back and wide receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson did it for a while this season as well. So good for the NFL being a little bit more innovative and finding ways to use their players. I am buying Debo, but there's a little bit in the back of my head like, oh, we're never going to see this again.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, if I could buy Debo at like a pretty good price, like if I could trade the 102 and, Michael Gallup and some running back prospect, right? Just some guy, whatever. And I could get the Debo Samuel, I'd do it. However, I do think to get Debo Samuel, we're talking two first-round picks, a good wide receiver, a Robert Woods type, an Adam Thielen-type wide receiver, and maybe that even wouldn't do it. Because not only did Debo have that phenomenal season, but of course you have that attachment to players who came from nothing to being great, right? So when you draft the guy, you took Gabe Davis in the fourth round of your dynasty rookie draft, and then all of a sudden, Gabe Davis is amazing. You don't really want to trade Gabe Davis for fair market value because you feel like it's found money. You feel like you just reached into your winter coat and pulled out the $20 bill. It's like a really special feeling. So I'm on board to buy Debo, but I don't think I actually will buy him in any league because the price is just going to be so high. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we'll be doing everyone's favorite game, fantasy or reality.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back in to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we dip into fantasy reality, I need to remind everyone to please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram. You're going to get all the highlights from here on the network. Fantasy Sports Today, this show, Pharrell Coast to Coast, in-game live, all of the programming we have here on the network, the best injury news, notes, highlights, analysis, all of the things that you need to stay up on the world of fantasy sports and sports wagering. Sports are what we do here at Sports Grid, obviously, and we know that you want to stay in contact with everything going on there, so don't forget to be doing that. And now we are going to bring our producer, Brett Levy, in for a little game we call Fantasy or Reality.
All right, guys. Well, starting off today, there is some Carson Wentz news that we need to discuss because teams are calling, but it'll probably take a restructured contract or some contract negotiating to get Carson Wentz out of Indianapolis and onto a new team. But since the rumors are out there, George, we'll start with you. Carson Wentz will be on a new team next season. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Who the hell wants Carson Wentz? I mean, are we that desperate for quarterbacks in the NFL? I know there are a lot of teams that are. You take the Pittsburgh Steelers trying to give us a snow job. Oh, yeah, we're going to start the season with Mason Rudolph. We have confidence in him. Yeah, sure you do. All right, that'll work out well for you. All right, so I guess there could be a team that when the music stops, there'll be a team or two left without, a chair. All right, because they won't be able to get one of the quarterbacks that are available. I think Aaron Rodgers now looks like he's going to stay in Green Bay. Maybe Russell Wilson does stay in Seattle. So, yeah, there could be some teams that are just, I don't want Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't want this. So we make a move for Carson Wentz. But what did he prove to you last year? He's not that guy. He's not that guy. I mean, he probably would have won the NFL MVP if not for that torn ACL that one year in Philadelphia. It was that 18, whatever it might have been. Yeah, but since then, he's just not that player anymore. You saw that over and over. Yeah, he made some good throws last year, but he made some throws What are we doing? What are you doing, Carson? You know, this is strange to me. I can't believe we're hearing the rumors of this, that there are teams checking in on him. And the cap hit wouldn't be terrible, by the way. But still, who's giving up anything of value for Carson Wentz? I just can't see it. I just cannot see this. Not to mention, Frank Reich is sort of tied to him. How many number one picks and other picks did you give up for Carson Wentz, Frank? All right, and now he's going to trade him away after 1 year? What do you think you're getting back for him? You're not getting back a number one. I can't see that. No, I think this is fantasy. I think he's still with the Colts. I think it may be unfortunate, but I still think he's with the Colts. By the way, if the Colts do trade him, who's their quarterback next year?
Well, I mean that really is the big question. But George, you know, you and I, we've been going back and forth on this for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. This is the musical chairs offseason, right? We just went over the free agents. I mean, is Jameis Winston really that different than what Carson Wentz put on the field last year? I think no. I mean, maybe some people would disagree with me and they would say he is. I don't think that. Mostly because Carson Wentz is so turnover prone. It just feels like he can make some great throws. I'm not going to take that away from him. The guy can make some great throws, but man, does he turn the ball over a ton. And he eats sacks like no one's business. In 2020 in Philadelphia, he had the double whammy of being sacked the most of any NFL quarterback and throwing the most interceptions. So I, and again, you are right. Carson Wentz maybe could have won MVP in that 2017 season. He played 13 games, 3,300 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, led the NFL in QBR. He was great that year. And I'm not trying to take that away from him. But it really does just feel like one of those situations where the head coach, the GM, the owner, they are all in alignment. It's Carson Wentz's fault that we didn't beat the Jaguars in the last day of the season. It's Carson Wentz's fault that we didn't make the playoffs. And we took a risk with Carson Wentz. We traded the first round pick that is going to convey this year. And we lost, right? You know, when you take risks in a risk-based game, sometimes it's not going to work out for you. And it didn't work out for the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, in a normal year, I would say you're right. You know, who the heck is going to quarterback the Indianapolis Colts next year? But this is not a normal year. There are going to be lots of guys who are fine, who are, you know, not great. They're not going to bring anyone in to change their franchise around, but that's what they've been doing since Andrew Luck left. I mean, the list of guys who have been quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. So we have Wentz last year. We have Philip Rivers the year before. In 2019, it was Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer. You know, they have just gone back and forth, you know, since Andrew Luck left the franchise. They haven't found a long-term solution. And it, most importantly, I think, it doesn't look like they want a long-term solution. You know, they're trying to win with this team they have now. And you don't find a long-term solution by trading for Carson Wentz. You know, or at least they thought they might have, but they didn't. So I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to say reality Carson Wentz will be on a new team next year, and we can toss it back to Brett.
All right. Well, Davis, we got some kind of surprising news stories from the Rams over the last week here. First, in the Super Bowl pregame show, Rodney Harrison and Michelle Tafoya hint at the fact that Aaron Donald may be retiring. And then later in the week, Davis, we get rumors that at 36 years old, Sean McVay may be hanging him up after the Super Bowl. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Both Sean McVay and Aaron Donald will be back with the Rams next season. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, I think this one is pretty close. So this is what it sounds like to me. It sounds like, and this was a report, I do not remember who reported it, so I apologize, but it sounds like Donald is aiming for a big payday. And again, you know, there was a lot of reporting this morning about, oh, you know, the Los Angeles Rams are in salary cap hell, but they're really not, because $33 million in 2021 of their cap was taken up by two guys who are not on the team, Todd Gurley, not in the NFL. Jared Goff was playing for the Detroit Lions. Well, that money is either coming off the books or a much lower chunk of their cap in 2022 than it was in 2021. So that frees them up to bring in free agents, you know, sign your Odell Beckham replacement, sign your Robert Woods replacement, give the guys who need a raise, you know, give them a raise. And it sounds like to me that Aaron Donald wants to get paid. And he doesn't want to just get capital P paid. He wants to get capital P, capital A, capital I, capital D paid. And you know what? Good for him, because Aaron Donald is amazing. He is the best defensive player in the NFL, and it's not even close. He plays a position that it is incredibly difficult to impact the game on, you know, every single play, and he does. He destroys opposing offensive lines, and there is not a snowball's chance in hell that the Los Angeles Rams win the Super Bowl without him. Now, McVay, to be honest, I don't get his angle. I assume it's similar, you know, a contract extension, a contract raise. But also, being a coach is a lot of work, man. You got to grind. You got to put in those hours. Doesn't it sound nice? I mean, George, if Sports Grid offered me to retire right now and I would just get to go, you know, do 4 hours of TV a week, I show up on Monday Night Football, I get a big fat check, and I hang out with my beautiful wife and my family and my great house in Los Angeles, I might take that too. But I am going to say reality, but I'm more confident Aaron Donald is a Ram than I am that McVay is a Ram.
Yeah, and I think both these guys are doing the same playbook here. I 100% agree with you about Donald. This is all about he wants to get paid. Looking at him, his contract situation here, he's only got $9 million coming to him next year. All right, 9.25, 23 and 24, it's $14 million each. He wants, as you said, capital P, capital A, capital I, D, money, 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 money. That's what he wants. He wants to make a deal. He will be 31 in May, so once again, I think he knows it's the last chance I'm really going to have to get a bite of that apple, to use a lovely cliche there. So I think that's what he wants there, but I think he'll be back. I don't see him retiring. McVay is the more interesting one, because whenever I hear players or coaches start talking family, you know, as you said, he's not married, but he's got a long-term girlfriend and they want to start a family, you know. And I think he's one of those guys. Remember, he's from his heritage is from a coaching his tree, right? His grandfather and blah blah blah, so he knows what it takes, how hard it can be. You know, you won't be able to be there for your son, be there for your daughter, because you're always at the always at the facility. You're thinking football 24/7, almost 365. You got like a month off, that's it, good luck. You know, so when I hear that, I do start to worry here. You know, why did Tom Brady retire? I think it's Giselle finally got through to him. Enough. So I think that's what's going on here as well. And I think he also knows I can work for ESPN. ESPN's dying for him. They'll probably give me 8 figures. You know, that's $10 million plus a year, maybe even up there around Romo money. You know, and I don't have to coach. I can, you know, not that, listen, announcers work, you know, but they're not working 7 days a week. You know, they're not. Where they fly in there, that is maybe on Thursday, so you get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all spend with the family. You know, it's more of a fun job. You know, I think he would be good at it here. That being said, he's 36, coming up a Super Bowl win. You said the team is in good shape here. If I had to go an over-under, I say he is eventually going to go to announcing, but not yet. Not yet. So I'll say it's reality. They both will be back next season. But McVay is going to go into announcing before he's 40 years old.
All right. Well, our last question, and we've only got 2 minutes here, so we'll go quick. But there's a new Tom Brady Patriots documentary coming out. Obviously, ESPN just did one on all of Brady's Super Bowl appearances. I believe it was called Man in the Arena or something very close to that. But this new one going to be on Apple TV here. So, George, we'll start with you. You will watch the new Tom Brady Patriots documentary called The Dynasty. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I guess it depends on your definition of watch. I mean, am I going to watch every minute of it? No. Will I catch glimpses here and there? Sure. But it's getting a little oversaturated now. There are just too many stories here. The arena I watched probably a decent amount of, but I didn't even watch all of that either. But how much more new stuff are you going to be able to possibly tell me here? So, no, this is a fantasy. I will not be watching anywhere near all of it. Like I said, if it would have been the first one, better chance for reality. But it's just oversaturated right now, the Brady talk. I'm getting tired of it.
Literally not a chance. Didn't watch the Brady one. Not going to watch the Patriots one. I mean, honestly, had we all not been locked in our homes and had nothing to do and nowhere to go, I guarantee 1,000,000% the Last Dance documentary would not have been as popular. I probably would have watched it, but I certainly would not have watched it like appointment viewing style, like watch the new episodes right when they came out. So I will say 0% interest, 0% chance, perhaps the biggest fantasy in the history of fantasy reality. Don't care about Tom Brady. Don't care about the Patriots. Don't care about this documentary. Everyone, that is going to almost wrap it up for us here at the show today. We are going to go ahead and run into one final break here on the program, and we will return for our last segment, a little something we call the Sports Grid 60. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. As always, when we end the show, we end with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, I'm going back to baseball here, and this is going to annoy me more and more as each day passes here. I start to realize we might lose some games here. I think baseball is missing an incredible opportunity here. I mean, you got a new CBA. I think the CBA should pretty much been figured out already. Why they always have to wait till the last minute to argue about this stuff is annoying. But what I think they're missing out is, you know, when they end up getting the new CBA, they'll figure out all the economics, but they're missing a chance to fix the product on the field. And I'm the biggest baseball fan as anybody. I love the game, but the game is not the same. It's really a three true outcomes: home run, strikeout, walk. It's all we see nowadays. They need to fix the on-field product, and there's a bunch of fixes I would like to see here. Yeah, you're going to put the DH in the National League. Yay. I don't mind that, mind you. I think it's probably the way to go, although I'm not a huge proponent of it. But that'll help lessen the strikeouts a little bit by getting a real batter in there. But you need to find a way to get the more balls in play here. Make the game quicker. You can't play these 3 hours, 15 minute games, but they're not even talking about this. Baseball is missing an incredible opportunity here.
I mean, you're right. I am super excited for the universal designated hitter. It's going to make fantasy baseball better as well, which is mostly what I care about. I have a real quick, short Sports Grid 60 for today, which is just that we're waiting on baseball, no NFL, kind of in the doldrums of the NBA season. Maybe you won't watch on the weekends. Maybe you won't watch on Saturday morning. But the soccer played on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons in the Champions League. It's as good as it gets. An amazing goal from Kylian Mbappe yesterday against Real Madrid. I mean, a great sporting moment. I would encourage everyone to take a little part of their afternoon and watch some Champions League soccer. Of course, thank you to George for joining me on the show today. Thank you to Brett Levy for producing the program. Thank you to everyone over at LTN for making it work behind the scenes. We're going to get out of here. See you all later. See you tomorrow.